Greetings and welcome to our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Shannon Bryant, Executive Vice President for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and in the future. Today, please help me welcome our guest, Jess Stewart, LLC. Jess is a strategic advisory and leadership team coach local here to Fort Worth. Welcome, Jess. So happy to have you here.
Thank you, guys. I'm honored to be here.
So I want to dive right into your story. You and I have known each other for a while now, and I think you have an absolutely fascinating story. And so this is really a discussion today about entrepreneurship and your journey. And so if we could, walk us through your story. Let's start from the beginning. Tell us who you are.
All right. Buckle up. My full name is Jessica Stewart, and I was actually raised on a cattle ranch in the mountains by a Marine Corps dad. And, you know, grit, hard work, just not your ordinary thing that you see today was instilled in both my brother and I early on. And it carried throughout my life. But anyway, I was raised on a ranch. I was raised by a Marine Corps dad. Grit, hard work was instilled in us, and failure has never been an option. And so I went on to leave the ranch and go to college. I actually played volleyball. I was the first athlete inside of my high school to receive a full-ride Division I scholarship. And after volleyball, I went on to graduate Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And I graduated with an animal science degree. And from there, I went on to be a school teacher.
Oh, wow.
Right? How the hell does that happen? But anyway, I loved it. And today I teach. And so I can kind of see how the two tie together. And was successful being a school teacher. I loved it. And moved to a community with my now husband today that didn't have teaching jobs. And we had kids. And so we were a two-income family, and I needed to figure out what to do. So I started a medical billing company out of my house with two young children under my feet. And, you know, my intentions were to start the company to stay home with my kids and raise my kids. And it soon turned out where it grew beyond the house. And I grew it to a nationwide company with two U.S. locations with an international division. And I recently just sold the company very successfully. So hitting the ceiling and doing things that are outside of the box is not unusual for me. I have been there and done that.
Okay, normal is boring.
Normal is boring, yes.
But Jess, can we go back for just a second? What made you decide to select a medical billing business? How did that come about?
That's a great question. So I've always tended to not do things that I've studied. I leap into things because I kind of have a passion for it. So it was actually a conversation with my mom one night as to what I should do to raise kids and be home, and a medical billing company or a revenue cycle management company was something that that came up, and I soon figured out that I had an incredible passion for solving problems and a need to solve problems. It was satisfying for me. So anybody who knows what revenue cycle and medical billing is, it's extreme complexity, and I really, really liked it. So I took off with it.
There you go. And your target market for the medical billing company was hospitals, doctor's offices. Who were your primary target?
Started with physician offices, small physician offices, and soon became very, very popular in solving some big problems for physician offices, and saw that we had a need for the ambulatory physician care inside of hospital space. And so we started working with larger practitioners, larger clinics, and got into the hospital space and took off from there.
Very good. So it's said that an entrepreneur's business must match their personality. How did Pacific Medical Data Solutions match your personality?
So passion. I have an extreme passion for loving to do the things that I love to do. So I love to solve problems. And like I said, it was very satisfying to me. So it fit me.
There you go. And you have a big personality. So.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You grow up to a big company.
Yes.
So what are some of your greatest lessons in this journey of building and selling the company and that entire journey?
Yeah, fun ones. So the biggest lesson that I learned is, you know, the people on top of the mountain didn't fall there. And I learned early on how hard it was to actually make the climb. And I teach this today. But I have more respect for those that have lived the American dream and kind of realized their goals. The picture of success with the iceberg could not be more perfect to me, right? We as humans pay attention more to results and less to what goes on underneath that, right?
So you're talking about the iceberg,
yes,
where most of it's underwater and just a little peak sticking,
yes,
up. Yep.
Underneath is the hard work, the risk, the sacrifice, the loneliness, the doubt, you know, the actual climb to success. So very few people see that. And I think that's one of my biggest lessons. Another lesson that I have is know your purpose and make it meaningful. Wins come when all of that lines up. You have to love what you do, and your passion needs to ooze from you.
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, some days the climb to leadership kind of feels like you're talking about the mountain, kind of pushing a peanut up the mountain with your nose.
It's a perfect metaphor. Exactly. It's hard. It's very hard.
Yep, that it is. So that's great. I love that. I love that. Would you mind sharing an experience or a situation in your business where things didn't go as planned? Give us some examples of some of those hardships and what you did to go back and readjust your sale.
Absolutely. I used to call it recalibrate.
I love it.
As entrepreneurs, we're pioneers, right? And we're out there on a ship by ourselves sometimes, and it's dark, and we have our compass, and sometimes things just don't go the way we plan, and we hit an iceberg. But I had a doc that was billing fraudulently, and that's a big deal in healthcare, a really big deal. And so I was mid-tenure when this happened, and so every drop of money was very important for us. And I had to fire the client, and we lost 80% of our revenue overnight.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those moments I didn't know if we were going to survive. Good Lord willing, we did, and we came out better and stronger because of it. The lessons learned in it was, you know, surround yourself with those that do goodwill, make better compliance. We became a better company. We became a better team. We stuck to our core values, and we never slipped from our integrity. And that carried us all the way to the end, you know, when the easiest thing might have been to say, yeah, we'll keep them just for revenue sake. And it was against all inner core on us. So
would it be safe to say that was a lesson, too, in not putting all your eggs in one basket?
Absolutely. You know, that's a great point, actually, is diversification. But it's hard as you're growing a company, especially with one that was self-funded by mine. It's hard to diversify your revenue right off the bat. And you're out there taking every client. I can guarantee you when we got back on our feet after this incident, we were a little more diversified.
I can imagine. Yeah. And learning to scale, that's one of the difficult parts of the entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, it's 5 steps forward and 7 back. You just don't know. But you just got to keep going.
Right.
You got to stick to your purpose. And
exactly.
Passion.
And your why.
And your why.
So, Jessica, can I ask how many employees did you start off with, and where did you end up when you
Absolutely.
Sold the company?
So, I started with one employee. That
would
be me.
That include yourself?
Okay. Yep. I actually worked pretty much every position inside the company, and when I sold, we had 30 full-time employees, like I said, 2 U.S. locations, but we had 150 employees overseas.
Oh, wow. And that was over a time span of how long?
15 years.
15 years? That is impressive. So what's been some of your most exciting moments as an entrepreneur? And your aha moments.
Yeah,
give me your aha
moments. There's been a lot of them, right? And traveling with Jess is pretty comical, so there's always a lot of them. But I would say the number one for me is I'm a designer at heart. I love to build things. We built solutions at Pacific Medical that were outside the box. We played the risky side. We believed in the blue ocean, not the red ocean. How could we be unique?
Can you explain that just
yep.
for our listening audience so they understand what that means?
Yeah. So how do you you know, how do you make sure that you're not just another fish in the sea? How do you become a unique company that every client needs? What's your solutions? What's your differentiators? What keeps you in that blue ocean? And sometimes the blue ocean is the riskiest road to take and the scariest one.
Lots of sharks.
Lots of sharks. Absolutely. And so anyway, we built solutions outside of the normal revenue cycle management. This might be kind of nerd healthcare talk, but we didn't just stick to being a traditional medical billing company. We saw the limitations that our physicians had, and we built solutions around that. We were actually one of the very first companies to take a software and make it remote. This is before the EMR boom, and allow our physicians the ability to dial into their project management systems or practice management systems remote, so wherever they were located. That was big. We started into heavy analytics, and we built bolt-ons, if you want to call it, solutions to the practice management and EMR platforms for our physicians so that they had better access. They had real-time data, and it was extremely successful.
Certainly sounds like it. So we are sitting here today at Tarrant County College at our Northeast campus, and there's a lot of students here, a lot of students across all of TCC, and we have a lot of students who are interested in business and entrepreneurship. From you have taken this journey and being a strong woman leader and woman-owned company, what advice would you give to our students here at the college?
So I think I started by saying that the people on top of the mountain didn't fall there. It's probably one of my favorite quotes. I'll get into being a pinnacle business guide here in a minute, but it's what I teach today. And so if I have something to say to people is don't be afraid to surround yourself with people who are either smarter than you or have been there. I think the biggest piece of advice I wish somebody would have given me, and I don't get me wrong, I was surrounded by advisors and peer groups and great people, but I needed that guide, right? Why would we ever want to climb Everest by ourselves? You've got to have somebody that's gone and done it. So Speaking of the climb, get the guides. Be in a position to receive. Believe it or not, that's a hard thing for us entrepreneurs, right, is to be able to receive gifts or receive advice and not stray off of our passion and our core, but be able to receive that advice and take it and build something from it. So surround yourself with people that early on that have been there and done that. The other thing that I'm big on is follow your gut. It just speaks to you. There's a reason that it's there. Don't be skeptical. Jump. Fail. Fail and fail fast. Fail hard. Jump. You'll be better for it.
There you go. That kind of goes to what I typically say is there are no mistakes in life, just lessons learned.
Absolutely. And invest in it. Get started, because there are things that your business or what you're wanting to do is going to teach you that you can't learn in school. Yeah. And so get going.
That's true. Can I ask, so you're talking about finding other people to support you and mm-hmm. that guide. What advice would you give pertaining to mentorship? How did you find your mentorship, and how did you know that those mentors were good people, if you would, to follow?
So, great question. I would say that I can categorize it in three categories. This is what I knew before what I knew today, know today, but there's peer groups, there's roundtables, and then there's just people, right? So get out and talk to people. Your gut is going to tell you when you're talking to somebody who's really sharp, somebody who's been there, and somebody who's willing to give advice. Ask to go to coffee with them. Be brave and ask. Say, hey, I want to form an advisory panel. Would you be on it? Early on, I formed an advisory board, and it's supposed to be a year, 10-year. Well, Jess, one of them said I had the golden cuffs, you know, of my advisory board members never left. And they're still great friends today.
Well,
and
that speaks volumes to you, right?
Yeah, you know what? I do. I got a shout out to Kevin Meyer and Bro Castleman and men and women that stayed by me, and Ed Cox that worked with me for years and never left my side and never charged me a dime for it. So there's people that want to help. Now, what I know today is the guide. You know, find your guide. Find your business guide. I'm a pinnacle business guide today. I did not know that systems like this existed, and that's why I have come back and started helping other entrepreneurs, is because this was the missing piece for me. And And so get out there, talk to people, get yourself a guide, get you guys some advisory panels, and people want to help.
Very good. Well, I think you just answered my question pertaining to if you could go back and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give you? It sounds like it started out sooner with a guide and a mentor.
It is.
In the process.
Yeah,
is that...
I had great ones, don't get me wrong, but I never thought to just get a specific person or guide that had been there and done it, you know, and invest the money in it, because their job is to lead you up the mountain. And get you to those views that very few see.
Right, and sometimes through the mountain.
Yeah. Yes.
So that leads to our next question, which is, I think that's a good segue. So talking about young and aspiring entrepreneurs, I know funding typically comes up, and that's usually a major issue, right? Is how do I get started? Where do I find the funding? So do you have suggestions to offer young and aspiring entrepreneurs regarding a funding plan to not only start the business, but to fund it for the long term?
Absolutely. So I have a couple answers. First one is, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. I was one that never went to outside funding and always believed in the power of little debt. So I was the pay for it as you go person. That kept me from growing faster and bigger. So, you know, you got to weigh your options. Was it the need for me to control everything, or does it go back to how I was raised? You know, do it yourself. Be, you know, that tough grit. And so if you are looking for funding, my biggest suggestion is consider them as partners, not just a dollar. Consider them partners. What type of asset are they going to be to the company, to the team? You know, what type of value are they going to offer back? How can they help you climb that mountain? And then I think, you know, at the end of the day is, and this is what I've learned now, and I would say the last 5 years of my tenure, I lived this right here, is while you get your company going, focus on profit, right? Money is not a dirty word. It is the life that feeds our operations. So how do you do that? And what I teach today is kind of a four-legged stool where you have people, purpose, playbook, and performance. And if you focus on those and you build those, profit comes. And with profit comes freedom. And freedom allows us to have what we want to either grow, bring in additional partners, you know, whether it be private equity or, you know, any type of funding you're looking for. And those four things need to be running on all cylinders.
I love that. If you would, just for the audience, because that went pretty quick and I love those four, can you say those one more time?
Absolutely. People, purpose, playbook, and performance. And when we focus on those, profit happens. And this is actually the pinnacle principle that I teach today. And, you know, profit is, like I said, the true measure of a successful operation. Don't be scared to make profit. Go out and say that you want to from the very beginning. I think that There's a thing out there where, you know, profit kind of can be guilty almost, and that is not why we're doing business. We want to do business to make money. We want to do business to have freedom. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Yeah. So okay, tell us a little bit about what factors need to be taken into consideration when you're scaling the company. I know we talked about that briefly, but do you have anything that you would pull out that would be a
Besides,
one solid piece of advice for scaling?
Yeah. Besides the surrounding yourself with great people, the other is great health. You need all the energy that you can have, and you need to be at your peak state. And when you're at your peak state, you'll know your purpose and why you're put on this earth to do what you're doing. And so reside in that, live in that, center yourself around it.
Very good. So I guess maybe being a busy entrepreneur, how do you manage a work-life balance?
That's a tough question, Jess. Right?
Is this a practice what we preach?
Yes. Especially for those of us that find our purpose in our work, you know. So after selling my company, I have been able to become the mom that I wasn't for so many years. And it has been the best time of my life, honestly. So I can truly speak to a work-life balance, where back in the day I couldn't, because I was so addicted to being on that hamster wheel. And so I realized the importance of it today, because I wouldn't I wouldn't trade these years, months, days for anything. I want more of them. I want a life that allows my husband and I the opportunity to be part of our kids' life. So how do I teach others to do it? I'll go right back to, you know, the pinnacle principle is don't get strangled by your company. Master those four legs, because when you do, that profit and that freedom comes, and that air comes. And as a leader, as an entrepreneur, as the owner of your company, as an executive, whatever your position is, that is where more freedom can come, and you gain that perfect balance.
Very good. So being a successful and inspiring woman, I'm assuming that's the same advice that you offer to other female leaders who are trying to work their way up that mountain right now.
Absolutely. And woman to woman, I have a lot to say, because I was that mom that started this company out of my home, you guys, a mobile home. We had $0 when we started this company, and I had two young kids, and we were living life. We were happy, right? We don't know how scary those times really are or how close to the edge we are, but find your soul purpose, because when you do and you find your why and why you were put on this planet to do what you do, and you let go of your limiting beliefs, you get out of your way and watch what happens. And as women, we have DNA that's different and very powerful, right? We have the ability to multitask.
Yes.
We have the ability to do things. No offense, men, because I love you. But as women, don't ever have limiting beliefs that we cannot go and achieve the goals we want to achieve and still have a family and still have the life we want to have. Just go do it.
There you go. I love that. Well, growing up, my grandmother, she was a very powerful woman. She always said to me the quote, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better's best.
That is
and
awesome.
That is something that I have always lived my life by.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, yes, it's scary, but do it afraid, right?
Yeah.
Take that step.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite authors is Jen Sincero, and the book You Are a Badass.
I have that by my bedside.
I strongly suggest, man or woman, read it, because
it is a great book.
You know, and I've always been a believer in this, and it wasn't until I read her book that I was like, that's me, right? And she speaks to the universe, and if I have one piece of advice for everybody is, the universe has built everything you need and desire. You just have to get there.
Mm-hmm. Speak it into the universe, and right?
Yes, speak it, believe it. As she says, raise your frequency. So, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
So, you have been in the Fort Worth area for a few years now, correct?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the Fort Worth entrepreneurial ecosystem thus far?
Super exciting. I was raised rural. I don't know if I've ever, I should know this, right? So I don't know, but I've never lived this close to a city, especially a city like Fort Worth. The values and the feel of Fort Worth is just, it's a cool city. And I hope it holds its true to its core values, because what an attractive place to be. Businesses should be looking to come here. I feel that it's a business-friendly area. I actually work very closely with the Fort Worth Chamber. I'm actually their guide, you know, and they've done so many things to put together entrepreneurship programs. You know, we've got Tech Fort Worth, we have Spark Yard, we have an ecosystem that I feel has developed that's very friendly. You just have to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
To young entrepreneurs, mid-tenure entrepreneurs, people like myself that have sold a company and lived the dream and are back helping people solve problems. I have all good things to say about it.
Good. Yeah, I would agree with you. Coming here, I think I've told you too that, you know, besides leadership over our corporate solutions department at the college, I also helped to lead. We're a host college for the Small Business Development Center for Tarrant County.
Yes.
And so it's all about helping new and aspiring entrepreneurs with their business plans and anything that they need. So it's a great collaborative space to be in.
Well, that's what I was actually going to jump into that in our here in just a sec. But this college and what you are doing, Shannon and team, is remarkable. The magazine, the programs. I wish there had been something like this for me when I started. You know, it's a great stepping stone, and it's so needed. So.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that.
Those are some of my words of wisdom.
That's a great segue. So any last words of wisdom for our listening audience?
Yeah. Subscribe to this podcast. Get their magazines. Get in here, you guys. No joke. But really, I want to end with the view at the top is so worth the climb. It's hard. It's you're going to, you know, there's days you want to give up, but it's so worth the climb. And so put it all out there. Go for it. Live it. Breathe it. Be great at what you do.
That is wonderful. Jess, thank you so much. It has been wonderful having you here today. Love the advice. Love the inspiration. Love the story. Thank you so much. And so I want to thank you, everyone, for listening today. And we look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Workforce Lens.